My family. And as the family of God, I'm just delighted to be able to share the word of God with you and to encourage you. You know, every day of our lives, we have choices. Choices regarding what we will wear, what we'll eat, where we'll go, what we'll do. Another choice that we don't readily think about is in regards to our thoughts. Our thoughts are powerful, for they have the power to affect our attitude, our mood, our disposition, our perspective on our life. And for many of us, our thoughts can feel like we're limited in our power and ability to control them. They can sometimes feel like they can run wild, or it's like a game of ping pong going back and forth. Or for some of us, they might be focused overly on a certain person or an event or something that we really can't even change. But God's call for the Christian, according to 10:5, is to take every thought captive. Every thought captive. And think about that word for a minute, that word captive. What does that conjure up in your mind? I see someone or something that's rebellious. Something that's fighting, something that needs to be controlled for the safety of you or others. It's something that's dangerous. And this is the potential of our thoughts. And thus, we need to take them captive. And this is well published in the world of health and medicine. It has been clearly established that our thoughts have the ability, literally, to either contribute to our health being diminished or improved. And the Bible supports this. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is like good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Our thoughts truly are powerful engines. So as a Christian, what are we to do with our thought life? What are we to do with the bombardment of thoughts that come into our mind day after day, moment after moment? As Dan mentioned last week, Eastern religions and modern day gurus will tell you to simply empty your mind or to fill it with mindfulness about your situation. Or on the other spectrum, at the click of a button or the words, "Hey Google," you could have access to billions of files of data. You know, we could easily spend more time focusing on Facebook than on our neighbor. More time listening to Google than to the Lord. More time thinking about politics or sports than about the Word of God. But Christ has a different alternative for our thoughts. He has given us something that we can fill our minds with that will literally renew our minds. We have truth that can give peace to our souls. We have a wellspring of life that can never run dry. The very living and active Word of God, the Word that is comfort for our weary souls, strength for our fainting hearts, rest for our tired spirits, truth to literally bring new life to lifeless existence. And tonight I want to focus our attention and our thoughts on one of the ways that we can take our thoughts captive. One of the ways that the Word of God can truly transform and renew us. As we established, our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts are being shaped, and our thoughts should be captivated by Christ. So how can we take the Word of God and see it produce fruit in our lives? As Christians, don't you long to grow, to be more conformed to the image of Christ? And if you're not a Christian, don't you long to have a life of peace and joy and hope and comfort? Well, if you answered yes to any of those questions, then you're in the right place tonight, because we're continuing our series on spiritual disciplines. And tonight we'll be looking at the spiritual discipline of scripture memory. Tonight's main theme is that you should memorize the Word of God, because it can help you to look intently at the Word of God, and because it can help you to abide in and marvel at Christ. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll be focusing tonight on one verse, verse 25, but we'll read through verses 21 through 25 to set the context. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word that is living and active. And Lord, your word is a word that points us to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray more than anything else tonight, Lord, that our hearts would be pointed toward the Lord Jesus Christ as we look at your word. May Christ be exalted. May our hearts be filled with praise. Even as we think of something that many of us, if we're honest, we know we struggle with, we fail at. But thank you that Christ is enough. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. All I need is Christ. Speak to us tonight, Lord, through your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So first, you should memorize the scripture because it helps you to look intently into the word of God. Look again at verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Looking intently. What does it mean to look intently at something? Well, literally, it's a penetrating look. It's stooping down to look at something in detail, to carefully inspect something so as to recognize it and therefore to remember it. To remember, it's not a casual glance. The call of the Christian is to look intently so that you remember the word of God. What do we look at intently according to this verse? Verse 25, the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty. You know, the word perfect here has the idea of bringing something to completion. You can think of it as this idea of the perfect law is like the completed law. And we know that the law, is it completed by us? No, the law is perfectly completed by Christ. He fulfilled it all. Every commandment, every regulation, all fulfilled by Christ. So this is what we look intently at. Not so much on what we must do, but upon what he has done for us. You know, there's lots of things that we can focus on in the Bible. But in all of it, brothers and sisters, are you amazed at the perfect law, the law of liberty? You know, many of us read through the Old Testament and we hear all these regulations and rules that a holy God required to set his people apart as distinct and separate. As you read that, can you not praise God that it was perfectly fulfilled by Christ? The law of liberty, a perfect law. We're under that, and we intently look at that. When you look at the mirror of the Word of God and compare yourself to its standards, that perfect law, all of us fall short. But Christ has fulfilled it all. Stop and meditate on the truth that you deserve God's righteous judgment, but you've been offered his free grace. You know, some of us can look intently at the sports pages or the latest diet or our next vacation, but when have you last looked intently upon Christ and marveled at what he's done for you, a sinner? So how is it that we look intently on the word of God? Look at verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. In order to receive this word, we have to prime the soil. You know, this word, putting off all filthiness and wicked desires, it's a vivid word picture. James is saying literally to take the filthy attitudes and actions, just as you would take off filthy, soiled garments. Take it off. Put it off. Or it's like a snake that's sloughing off its dead skin. This is our call as Christians. And one of the ways that you can do this is if you see your sin the way that God sees it. If you're struggling with lust or anger, do you see it the way that God sees it? Colossians 3:5 there says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to our immorality, to impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Put it off. Romans 8:6 says, the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. As you remind yourself of what God thinks of your sin, are you tilling the soil for receiving the truth of the beauty and wonder of Christ? You see, if we don't recognize our sin, we're not going to recognize the beauty of what Christ has done for us. So till the soil of your own heart. Put it off. Put off the filthiness and wickedness. And in humility, receive the word. Notice again in verse 21, receive the word implanted. As you hear the word of God, it's planted in your heart and in your life. Now we know that this implanting of the word in our hearts is solely an act of God. He has to do the work of regenerating us, of giving us new hearts. But we also have an active responsibility to regularly receive this word. And you can receive it on Sundays, and you can receive it when you read your Bible. But we need this word to also be implanted deep within us. This is where memorization can come in. We take the truth of God and we plant it deep within us. Because believe it or not, brother and sister, you are in a spiritual battle. Your minds are wandering into areas of enemy territory. You've got to take it captive. Our hearts really are like sponges. They're going to get filled with something. And eventually in life, we're going to get squeezed. Don't you feel it in life at times? And what's going to come out of you? It's what's inside of you. Is the word of God deeply implanted within you? So when you get that call from the doctor, that you're not filled with despair, but you're filled with hope in Christ. Why else should we look at the word intently? Look at verse 21, what it's able to do, the word of God, as we implant it in our hearts and in our minds. The word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Is there anything more precious than the salvation of your soul? How about your children's souls? Do you desire for your children to be saved? Help them to implant the word of God within themselves. Are you struggling, wondering if you're a Christian? Implant the Word of God within your soul. In our children's ministry, we memorize the Word of God week in and week out. And our prayer is that these truths will be implanted in their souls. We believe the Word of God that it says so that they will be saved. We believe it. We desire it. And the same can happen in your life. Memorize, meditate on the Word of God. Not sure where to start in scripture memory? Join us in children's ministry. We memorize fighter verses week by week. It's in your bulletin every week. Join us. I would love to see a grandma or a grandpa, or you're all grandmas and grandpas, brothers and sisters, to come alongside one of my kids and recite their verse to them. We're a family. We're all together in this. It's God's word. It's fuel for our souls. Get the word of God implanted into your heart. Get somebody to help you. Get accountable. Memorize with your spouse, with your discipler. Memorize as a home fellowship group. Get the word of God deep in your soul. And what else are the effects of looking intently into the Word of God? Look at verse 22. Again, wondering if you're a Christian or not? Prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers. Notice, we implant the Word of God not to gain salvation, but to prove our salvation. Listen to this story. A pastor was teaching the principles of Bible study. He showed out how to pick the promises and commands in Scripture and what to do with them. Finally, he reviewed and asked, "Now, what do you do with the commands?" A little old lady raised her hand and said, "I underline them in blue." Now, underlining Bible's commands in blue might give you a colorful Bible and might be helpful for you to see what's going on in the Scriptures, but the obvious command is not to underline the word, but to what? To do it. Funny story, but if we're honest, can't that happen to us? We can hear the word of God. We can underline the word of God. But are we doing it? Are we living out the word of God? Because look at the warning at the end of verse 22. Prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. To hear the word of God and not do it leads to deception. And this could be you. You may have read the word of God. You may have even studied it and underlined it. You may even teach it. But it makes no difference in the way that you live. You struggle with the same exact sins. You have no spiritual growth in your life. You may be deceiving yourself. So where do you go? What do? The call here is to look intently at the Word of God, the law of liberty. Implant the Word of God. It can save your soul. Is there anything more important than your soul? Scripture memory can help you with this. And notice what it does. It leads to blessing. We'll see this later. So what can happen if we don't look intently at the Word of God? Well, look at verses 23 and 24. We can forget who we really are. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Here, James gives us a word picture to help us understand what not living the word is like. He's in essence saying how utterly ridiculous it is to think that when we look at ourselves in the mirror and see the bags over our eyes and things in our eyes, I don't know what they are, and hair all over the place, that we would just ignore it and go to work. Right? It's ridiculous. We love ourselves too much to do that, don't we? James says it's the same for us, though, when we hear the word. the Word of God is like a mirror that reveals truth about us. It reveals truth that shows our warts and our wrinkles. It reveals our sin and our selfishness. It reveals our eternal destiny apart from faith in Christ. It reveals the majesty and glory of God. It reveals His holiness, His righteous justice, His amazing love. And for us to see that and to do nothing about it is absolute stupidity, isn't it? But brothers and sisters, the law of liberty shows us that when we see ourselves in light of the Word of God, who and what are we brought to? We're brought to Christ and what He's done for us. So memorize, meditate the Word of God so that you won't become a forgetful hearer. Memorize the truth of who Christ is and what He's done. Memorize Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you've been saved by faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But don't just memorize it and put it on the shelf. Meditate on it. Memorize Romans 5, 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like we heard this morning, we're all sinners. We've all gone astray. We've all wandered like David. But in that moment, He saw us and He loved us the same. Will that transform the way you think about your circumstances and your day? Memorize passages of Scripture that remind you of who Christ is. Now, this certainly isn't to say that we can't and we shouldn't memorize specific verses on things that you're struggling with in your Christian life. If you're struggling with lust, certainly memorize Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. But even above and beyond that, we can't keep our way pure by the word alone. We have to marvel at who Christ is. If anything in our life's going to change, memorize verses about God, who He is, and what He's done. Like we're doing in children's ministry, Psalm 139. Oh Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. And meditate on that. Think on that. Feel the weight of that. The weight that everything that you do and everything that you think, our holy God sees. And you deserve His justice, His righteous justice for that. But if you've placed your faith in Christ, then rejoice. Rejoice that Christ saw you in your sin and He sent a Savior, a substitute to take your place. Recite Romans 8:1 in your mind. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. Can that transform the way you think throughout your day and throughout your night? When you're up at night and you're struggling with your thoughts and your emotions, is there something deeply implanted in your heart and your mind that's going to triumph over your own thoughts and your own worries and your own anxieties? Now, some of you are in a good habit of Scripture memory, and I praise the Lord. Some of you have never memorized Scripture, and I'm praying that God will spur your heart to start. Others of you, I know you've hidden the Word of God in your heart in the past, but have gotten out of practice. Are you ever out of need of the Word of God implanted in your heart? Regardless of which of those categories you're in, can I ask you a personal question tonight? Notice what it says at the end of verse 25. It says, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. that personal question for you. Do you feel blessed tonight? How blessed did you feel this week? How blessed did you feel during this past year when the trials and difficulties came? How blessed do you think you'll be at the end of 2020? James holds back no punches in this book. If you desire God's blessing in your life, you must receive His word and you must live out His word. And one of the key means of you as a Christian living out your word, the word of God, is meditating. And meditation is thrust forward through memorization. Spiritual growth doesn't come easy, does it, brothers and sisters? It only comes through disciplining ourselves. Scripture memory is not easy. You know, at the onset of this sermon series, we were challenged to discipline ourselves, but not just to discipline ourselves for no reason. There's a purpose of godliness. And oh, the blessings that come from being godly. Who doesn't want to be godly? Discipline yourself for this purpose. You know, your thoughts will go somewhere this week. In your bed tonight, in your car on the way to work or school, while you're doing laundry or changing a diaper, are you ready to commit your mind to dwell on something that is going to fuel your heart to worship? God has created us as worshipers, but so often we think of worship confined to a Sunday or when I do my devotions. Whereas the call of a Christian is we are worshipers. Our heart's attitude throughout the day should be of worship, no matter what our circumstances. You know, many people will say, I'm not good at memorizing. I'm too old. My mind doesn't work that way. I've tried it and can't do it. But let's be honest, this is a family meeting. We're just making excuses, aren't we? Are you ready to commit your mind to something that will last for eternity? You know, there's lots of different strategies and different things, but a few practical helps. If you're old school, 3x5 card. Some of you young people don't know what those are. 3x5 card. Write the verse on it. You know, in times that there can be in our lives where our hands are active, but our minds aren't. Like when you're doing the laundry or you're doing a task and pruning the trees. Can you meditate on the word? Can you put your mind active to receiving the word? Something my wife does, she makes a verse her screensaver on her smartphone. So anytime she pulls it up, it's there. Put a scripture memory reminder on your daily calendar or your phone. I just downloaded about 18 different scripture memory apps on my phone and tried them all out. So if you want to ask me about the best app, there's all kinds out there, and many of them are free. In the family, in the car, a favorite time of mine, maybe not my family's, is our scripture memory time. Take advantage of it. Don't limit yourself, though. Don't just stop with one verse. Review past verses often. Our desire is not just to learn it at one time like we did in school and then forget it. Focus on specific areas you know to grow in godliness. You know, when Pete preached that sermon, I kept thinking of it over and over. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. What areas in my life, and I know it, that I'm not godly in? We all have it. There's areas in your life you know you're not godly in. Are you disciplining yourself to grow in those areas? Memorize some texts. If you struggle with depression, memorize verses on joy and praise. If you struggle with anxiety, memorize verses on peace and freedom from fear and trusting God. They're there in the scriptures. But also, focus on the glory and splendor of Christ. And I want to finish here. You should memorize scripture because it helps you to abide in and marvel at Christ. Look back at verse 25 briefly. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Do you hear that? The call is to abide. And this word abide means to remain or continue to stay, to tarry. It has this idea of being permanently present. Does that sound like something that's in your heart? Permanently present, abide, remain. And abide in this. What are we to abide in? Do you see it in the text? We already talked about it a bit. Not on what you should do. Not on what you need to do tomorrow. Abide in the perfect law, the law of liberty. Again, not so much on what you must do as a Christian. Because you're going to fail, aren't you, Christian? Just like I am. Abide in Him. Meditate on Him and who He is and what He's done. In the book of John, we know we're called to abide in Christ. And here we're called to abide in the law of liberty. And the law of liberty is all about Christ. His word is all about Him. Him taking the judgment that we deserve. His perfect righteousness imputed on our behalf. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The idea here is that as we behold Christ, that's what transforms us. That's what makes us more like Him. Not by a bunch of to-do lists. Not by pulling up our bootstraps and trying to be a better Christian. It's by looking at Christ, the perfect Christian. Looking at Him, and as we're stunned by Him, I am a sinner, I deserve your judgment, but you've given me your grace, and I receive your righteousness. And so my Christian life is walking, looking at what He's done, and being amazed at what we sing, hallelujah, all I have is Christ. I have a perfect priest, high priest, whose name is love, who intercedes for me. And He does that day by day and moment by moment. And that fuels me to want to live differently, to want to love my children and my neighbors, to want to stop looking at that putrid and look at Christ. Again, it's not so much about what we do, but about what He's done, about what we abide in and who we abide in. And that will translate in what we do. So in conclusion, you should memorize the scriptures because it helps you to look intently into the Word of God. And as you look intently into the Word of God, it will help you to remain in Christ, abide in Him, and marvel at Him. If you put your mind to it, you can take your thoughts captive. You can. You can grow in godliness. And having the truths of the Word of God readily in your heart and your mind and lips is one of God's most effective means for you to grow. The idea is this: the Bible ought to be like a tune that you can't get out of your mind. Right? Ever had that song, that tune? You just keep humming it all day long? That's the Word of God. It's there. It's readily available. It's all about Christ. And that's why we sing all about Christ here. As we close, listen to what one commentator said about this topic. He said, think of Bible memorization as a shopping spree for the mind, a chance to collect and store up treasures you'll enjoy for years. It gives you a word to say to anyone, in and out of season. It fills your heart and home with the best thoughts ever recorded. It saturates the personality, satiates the soul, and stockpiles the mind. It changes the atmosphere of every family and alters the weather forecast of every day. It takes 1 minute a day, or 5 or 10, whatever you can devote to it. It can be done in your bath, your bed, at your desk, or in an airplane. You can't say all that about too many things, can you? It can be done on the go, in traffic jams, while shaving, at sunup, or before bedtime. It can be done alone or with another person or in groups. It's an amazingly versatile habit, but also a vital one. Profitable whether we're in the nursery or in the nursing home. Don't be satisfied with an unfulfilled Christian life. Remember, Christ came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the treasure that you've given us, the treasure of your word. Lord, forgive us for not seeing it as the treasure that it is. The word became flesh. Christ, our Savior, came and became a man to live and die and fulfill every law perfectly. Lord, help us to meditate on you. Help us to think about you. Help us to be disciplined in our lives. Disciplined in a way that will bring more joy than anything else in this life can bring. Lord, discipline can have so many negative connotations in our mind, but Lord, thank you for the joy that you promise as we think about you and as we meditate on you and as we memorize your word. Lord, nothing else could be more profitable for our souls. Help us, Lord, though we know we need it. And thank you for one another. Help us to stir one another on in this most noble calling of being godly for your glory. May your Son be lifted high in our hearts and in our minds day by day, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks, Jeremy.